Luke 2:8-12. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby in their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger."
Luke 2:13-20. Suddenly, the angel is joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Merry almost Christmas. Sorry. So, here in the States, we don't really have the concept of a king. I've talked about this before, actually, during worship once a few years ago, I think. But we don't really have this idea of a king because it's not part of our system. But when I lived in Uganda, they have different tribes, and the tribes had kings. And the kings had a lot of say and a lot of influence, a lot of the ability to speak to their members, and the tribe members would listen. And so I remember a day when I was living, I lived in this village on the shore of Lake Victoria, these whispers started coming out, and they were saying, "Kabaka is coming." Kabaka is Lugandan for king. "The Kabaka is coming, the Kabaka is coming." And people started getting excited. This energy started showing up because they were starting to realize that their king was going to come visit them in their village. This was a big deal. It's not something that happened a lot, but it was a huge honor. And this, it's so funny. In Uganda, they love to sweep dirt. And so the road is dirt. And they heard the king was coming. So everyone was out sweeping the dirt, trying to make the dirt cleaner. And so they were preparing the road for the king. All the shops kind of put their nice things on. People who didn't have much put on their best outfits because the king was coming. The Kabaka was coming. And I remember the day that the Kabaka came to our village. We were all out in the streets. Here's me and all these Ugandans, and we're watching. And finally, over the hill comes this car, and the king is standing through the top, like, you know, of a sunroof, and he's waving. And I mean, just people are going crazy because the king had come. And when I look at Scripture, I think this is the image the Jewish people had when they were thinking about their Messiah, that this king, this Savior, was going to come riding in triumphantly with all this power and with all this awe around him. But what we see in Scripture and what we read in this passage in Luke is that Jesus came, the king came in a very different form. He came very humbly. He came and an entrance that many people didn't expect in this form of a baby. Can we pray this morning? Jesus, we thank you that you came. That you came in an unexpected way. And so we pray that this morning you would speak to us in an unexpected way. Amen. When you look throughout Scripture, I love these passages from Job. If you read at the end of Job, when God speaks to Job, we see him declaring, "Where were you when I formed the earth? Where were you when I said the waves could go this far and no further?" We see this mighty, powerful God. In Genesis 1, we see this creator God speaking the world out of nothing. In Isaiah and in Psalms, we see this God who calls the stars out by name. But then in Luke chapter 2, we see this most amazing thing, that this all-powerful God comes in the form of a baby. And this was his ultimate gift to us. And so I have a friend to help me this morning. Give me just a second here. Okay, bud, we ready? Okay, don't get stage fright. Can you say good morning? Everyone say good morning? Yeah, see, they like you. Babies are so precious. They're so innocent. They look at the world with this sense of wonder, just looking at all of you thinking, what on earth are all these people looking at me for, right? And our God, our great and powerful creator that spoke the world into existence, became one of these. Became a baby. Became dependent on others. Jesus born as baby, fully God, yet fully man. He was the wonderful counselor. He was mighty God. He was everlasting father. He was Prince of Peace, all in the form of a little baby. Doing good. Nice. And taking the form of a baby and taking on this shell of humanity, we now have a God that can relate to us. A God that's been in our shoes in a way. A God that felt sickness and hunger. He's felt exhaustion. A God that felt temptation, that felt loneliness. All of us at one point in our lives were a baby. Imagine that, right? We all depended on someone for everything at one point in our lives. And this leads me to the first of three challenges I have this morning. Three challenges, we'll keep it quick. But the first is this. I want to challenge you this morning, this Christmas season, in a way to become like a baby again in your faith. To fully rely on the love of Christ in your life. To trust in him. To not try to lean on your own power and lean in your own strength. But instead to lean into Jesus. Much like a little baby depends on its family. Let's depend on Jesus fully this Christmas season. Because it's only when we give up and give control over to him that we truly experience the freedom that he gives, the love that he gives, the hope that he gives. And let's remember the beauty of Jesus coming as a little baby. I'm going to give you back for a second. You were doing fantastic, so let's keep a good thing going here. Thank you. I'll come back for you in a few. Okay, so number one, rely on, I tried to be quiet for the baby, but now I'll be loud again. Rely on the love of Christ in our lives, trusting in him, not depending on ourselves. In the passage we read this morning, these shepherds were out minding their business. They were doing their job. They were out in the fields watching over their flocks when their night was interrupted. I know in my life, God often shows up when I'm not expecting it. Maybe when I have other plans. But God shows up in our lives, much like he did with these shepherds, and he makes him available to us. And these shepherds, they're told of this baby. There's this baby in Bethlehem. They see these angels worshiping and celebrating. So they go to Bethlehem. They find Jesus, and then they go back out and they're telling everyone about him. They're praising God about this Savior that had come. Interacting with Jesus had changed them. The gift of God had changed them. So I know Christmas, we give gifts. When I was a kid, I had a rabbit. It had a very original name of Hopper, right? Kid name. And so I had this rabbit. Man, I loved this rabbit so much. And one Christmas Eve was a unique time because my brothers and I was the only time we didn't fight. And so we would all on Christmas Eve sleep in the same room together. It was like this peace treaty. And we would sleep together in the same room and we would be like, oh my gosh, Christmas is coming, right? So one Christmas Eve, we're on our sleeping bags and we're talking about the next morning. And my dad comes in, he says, I got bad news, Adam. Hopper chewed his way through the cage and is gone. Oh man, Christmas was ruined. I was devastated. Oh no, Hopper, right? I was crying. We went out in the cold, you know, it's snowing and we're looking for this rabbit in the middle of the woods. I'm sure a coyote had it or something. But so we're looking for this rabbit and I'm just devastated. Christmas, oh my gosh, Christmas is ruined. I obviously didn't have good perspective. But the next morning, I eventually fall asleep, go outside, and there's Hopper in the front yard, chilling. It's good. Best Christmas ever, right? Total change of emotions. And so to me, this was the greatest Christmas gift, you know, a 10-year-old could ever receive when I went out and my rabbit was there. This morning, we had a fun time in the back having our senior tea with everyone invited. And one of the questions they shared about around the table was, what was the best Christmas gift you've ever received? Do you have any good ones? Everyone looks at me like, I'm not talking. They shared around the table, you know, what was the best Christmas gift you ever received? And so for me, it was this rabbit coming back. But each of us, as we think back on our lives, we probably have different memories of the best gift we've received from someone. But the thing is, when you receive a gift, we don't just leave it looking like this, do we? What do you do with the gift, Adam? Unwrap it, right? You don't leave the gift sitting here like, oh, best gift ever, right? You rip that thing open, you see what's inside, and you toss the box to the side. But this morning, as I think about my second point, I want to ask you this morning, what are you going to do with the gift of Jesus that has been offered to you? We see in Luke 2 that Jesus came. He came to save humanity. He came to restore relationship with God. And so what are you going to do with the gift of Jesus? Too often people will say, well, that's a nice gift, but they just kind of leave it sitting there in their lives unopened. And I want to challenge you this morning to open it. Open up the gift of Jesus and find out what's inside with a life trusting in Jesus. So my second challenge is to respond to God's gift of love this morning. Accept this gift that God is offering. Open it up and see how it can change you. When we allow Jesus into our lives, when we rely on Jesus, man, this morning, if you're struggling with temptation, I encourage you to rely and lean into the love of Christ. If you're lonely, lean into the fellowship and the relationship we have with Christ. If you're exhausted, rest in the love of Christ that he's offered. And if you haven't experienced the gift of Jesus into your life, this morning I want to encourage you to trust him for the very first time. Begin to trust him with your life. Don't let this Christmas season pass you by without being changed. And this leads to my final thought this morning. Sometimes the message of Jesus, the Christmas story, can be kind of, it becomes common. It's something that we just kind of get used to. But I want to read Luke 2:18. Listen to this. It says, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. When people first heard this message of Jesus, they were astonished. Are we? Are we astonished at the message that God became human? That God took the form of a baby to ultimately die on a cross and to pave the way for us to have relationship with him? Or have we lost our awe of who God is and what he's done? I'm going to borrow my friend here again real quick. You still doing good over here, Chief? Okay, fantastic. He's back. I had to get your attention back in case you were wandering. You want to open the present? all-powerful God, creator, the God we see in Genesis and Job and Isaiah, putting himself in the form of a baby. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's pretty amazing that our God humbled himself and took on humanity because he loved us that much. It's beautiful that God wanted to restore relationship with us, the relationship that sin had broken, and so he became one of us. So my third challenge this morning is to regain an awe for the Christmas story, to regain an awe for Jesus, to regain an awe for how amazing God's love for us is, because the love of God is a beautiful thing. The offer of relationship with God is a beautiful thing. And God is all about making beautiful things happen in our lives. And I think that's something to see. So this morning, I just want to encourage you to think about those three things heading into this Christmas season. Relying on the love of Christ. Experiencing the gift of Christ. And regaining an awe for God's amazing love for us. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to stand, and we're going to sing some songs celebrating Jesus. Sound okay? Let's pray. Jesus, we are so thankful for you, for who you are and for what you did. We're so thankful for your love that you chose to come down to humanity and make a way for us to have a relationship with you. This Christmas season, we pray that we could experience you in a fresh new way, that we could regain an awe of the Christmas story. And so, Jesus, this morning as your church, we celebrate you. Amen.